Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, as we digest the Sid news here on the COVID protocol list, again, not clear if he has it or simply on the list, but won't play with fans coming back to the arena tonight. Just a massive bummer, at the very least, that Sid won't be in the lineup. We'll see how that story develops. So let's go to Bradenton in the meantime, where you have to feel better being in Florida. Jason Mackey is there. He's on the Hall and Capitas fan hotline. And Jason, what's been the single biggest development since you arrived in Bradenton as far as the Pirates go?
Well, the weather is absolutely spectacular, Joe, but I'm guessing that's not the sort of thing you're asking me about. I don't know if there's been some sort of, like, you know, huge, gigantic moment. It's been a bunch of little things. There's a decidedly different atmosphere around camp, you know, even from last year, where you're turning it over to the young kids. And you're also counting on some guys that didn't perform so well in 2020 to bounce back. And I'm talking about Reynolds, Newman, et cetera. And it's just, you know, it is sort of noticeable. There's no Tyone, no Bell, no Musgrove. You know, these guys have been really good players and contributed a lot. So, you know, it's noticeable that they aren't here and how they're trying to go about business without them. But I can't say there's been any sort of, like, gigantic development, you know, to affect that so far.
We saw Polanco hit a home run the other day. And I think I read where you said you've noted a noticeable difference with him. And then we also saw him drop a fly ball the other day. He can be so confounding. You know, you said he looks different. How, why, what do you mean by that?
Yeah, his swing looks a little shorter, Ron. I mean, you know, it's still going to be a certain amount of loopy and a certain amount of long because he's 6'5". But I like what he's doing. I like the way he's carrying himself. And sort of what made me think that was watching him swing, hit live batting practice, hit regular batting practice, and it's batting practice in the spring. Like, I'm not trying to make any sort of broad assertions, but, you know, I'm watching him pay attention to how long the bat is in the zone, as opposed to, like, flailing and looping and not caring, and, you know, it looks pretty, but it's not effective. Like, he's very aware that he needs to make more contact. Looking different to me also means the guy's taking an not obscene, maybe that's the wrong word, but he's being very judicious in, like, what pitches he swings at. And Polanco, in my opinion, has been way too free of a swinger previously in his career. He's just not good enough with making contact. So, I mean, he's certainly trying to change some things. I am careful saying stuff like that, or it makes me nervous saying stuff like that, because we've said it before. You know, I'm not the first person to come down here and say that Gregory Polanco looks different and then he flops in the regular season or gets hurt. Like, you know, I get the context there, but, you know, if I'm going to look at what he's doing so far, it has been encouraging.
Jason, fans expected today, I would imagine, at Leacom Park. And what's it been like just covering sporting events where there's actual humans on hand?
Joe, it's been really cool, man. I just spent the past hour, like, outside the entrance talking to fans that were, you know, trying to buy tickets unsuccessfully because, you know, it's a sellout and they're only selling to season ticket holders with a very select amount. You know, for other people that are in the ballpark for the first time, one lady said, I'm not going to be excited or properly excited until I crack open an icy light or something like that. I mean, there's just, like, this, you know, sort of little kid excitement. And I get it too. You know, I feel like everybody in our business can be a little bit, you know, surly or take things for granted or just focus on work. But, like, it's a big thing. It's fun. You notice it. I'm sure you guys will see it with the Penguins. Like, it's just such a welcome change Not only does it, you know, rock because of the weather and spring training and everything, it just, there's a decidedly different atmosphere. It's peppy. It feels lively. I like it.
I got to figure the players feel the same way, right? Are they getting a kick out of actually seeing humans there?
They are. They are. We talked to a few of them yesterday about that. Mitch Keller said he was going out on the field for warm-ups, and, like, he looked over, and he was sort of stunned that there were human beings there. One of my favorites was yesterday. We were in Dunedin playing the Blue Jays, and there's some drunk person. I mean, they were pretty well lubricated along the third base line. They're yelling at Philip Evans about something, and he just kind of, like, stares at him. It's like that had to be the greatest feeling ever to get heckled by somebody. You know, you just miss that. In good old spring training, like, you can see all of it. I don't even know what the person was yelling. It was hard to make out the words, but, like, you just knew somebody was getting yelled at, and that's fun. Like, even 2,000, man, or, you know, it's probably going to be about 2,100 here today. There's just such a decidedly different vibe, you know. And I believe me, I'm in favor of playing sports. It just felt at times like kind of a movie set or something, and it's nice to have the juice back in the building.
Jason Mackey, the Post-Gazette, covers the Pirates. So you mentioned Mitch Keller. He's an interesting case. We were talking earlier under sort of the topic line of what exactly do the Pirates have here. Last year, I know he only made 5 starts, but he walked more than he struck out. Seemed like he was wild again yesterday. What do they have here? Do they have an ace on their hands? Do they have a mystery on their hands? What's going to happen with Mitch Keller?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's obviously somewhere in between ace and mystery. We were talking to Derek Shelton a couple of days ago about that term and how he, and I would agree with him, you guys probably do too, that gets thrown around probably a little bit too loosely. You know, like, ace is Garrett Cole. Mitch Keller, I would probably call a front of the rotation starter, at least for the Pirates. But, you know, can this guy be better than he was last year or he's been in his career? I absolutely think so. He falls into a category of guys to me that they look a little different. They look like they're grown up a little bit or more confident or something. You know, Keller was a little wild yesterday, absolutely. But what he was wild with doesn't concern me. He's generally had pretty good fastball command, and, you know, it's been other stuff that has bugged him, specifically, like, you know, locating his breaking stuff, developing a changeup, whatever. Like, he's put his fastball in the zone. And so he's spraying it a little bit, whatever. The velocity was good. It was 95, 96. He touched 97 at one point. And, you know, what they have in terms of, like, an overall assessment, honestly, if this guy stays healthy, I feel like they have a very, very good pitcher, a legitimate front of the rotation arm with really good stuff who's just sort of growing into his talent, and that's what I'm looking for out of him this year.
What we were debating this the other day, are people expecting too much out of Ke'Bryan Hayes? Is it unfair to, you know, everybody's looking at him, and I know I am. He's the one guy that I'm really interested in watching this year, even if they lose a lot of games. Is there too much attention going to be paid to him, too high of expectations?
I worry about that a little bit, Ron. I think that's a good point. You know, we're making all these sort of broad assertions on Ke'Bryan Hayes based on him playing 24 games. You know, shoot, you can go over to the Penguins land or something like that. And, you know, Sam Lafferty had a strong start to his career. I'm not sure it would paint him as a, you know, future face of the franchise the way we've done with Ke'Bryan Hayes. And I'm not saying it's not possible. Believe me, I love watching the kid field. I was watching him take ground balls this morning. I think he's got a terrific swing. I think he's got a great head on his shoulders. But I do worry about some of those expectations and the way, you know, people like me are talking about him. And, you know, I think that's one of the reasons they brought Todd Frazier in. Somebody that can kind of keep him grounded, not like he needs, you know, raised the right way. Like his dad, his mom and dad did that job. But somebody to just kind of like keep him chilled out, you know, keep him with the proper perspective. And I like the tack that Ke'Bryan took this offseason. Like he kind of fell off the face of the earth. He wasn't out, you know, talking to me. I texted him. I texted with his agent. I texted with the Pirate, like, you know, trying to get him to talk, just sort of reflect on this thing, and he had no interest in doing it. And you know, he wasn't interested in sort of taking a victory lap. He's just interested in getting better and playing baseball, and I like that for somebody with his age and lack of experience.
Okay, then what's a fair expectation for him this season? Give me some numbers.
Well, I mean, based on what he did, and that's what we have to project. I mean, you know, I don't know, 280, 20 homers, 80 RBIs, like, you know, that's what we have to go off. So you're going to extrapolate that out, and I think that's fair. If I'm going to project what I think he can do, I mean, I don't think it's an unfair thing to lump expectations on the kid. I think where we maybe run into issues is just saying that he's going to be some, you know, franchise savior or something. They're going to be, you know, build this thing around him. Like, it's not that. You know, the Pirates are going to get good again by getting a lot of Ke'Bryan Hayes, several Ke'Bryan Hayes. But I want somebody that's going to flirt with 300 in terms of average, somebody that's going to drive the ball to the gap, somebody that's going to run a little bit, somebody that's going to play excellent defense. I think all of that is reasonable to expect. And you know what? Honestly, Joe, if he shoulders some of the expectations that we're talking about here, I think that's a win for him too.
Who's going to be the shortstop?
At this point, Ron, and I mean, obviously it's really early, but I've been way more impressed with Kevin Newman than Eric Gonzalez or Cole Tucker. And as long as they're keeping Adam Frazier on the roster, and, you know, now with him being banged up, he's got a groin thing going on, there's an extra variable there. You know, before we might have looked at this and said the Pirates didn't get return they liked in a trade. Okay, but now, you know, there's going to be a little asterisk next to him when other teams are calling. You got to understand he's not completely healthy, so... You know, if he's on the team, you have to account for him, and he's going to play. He's their best option at second base once he gets healthy. And I've been way more impressed with Kevin Newman than I have Cole Tucker this season. And, you know, to me, Cole Tucker needs to prove himself with the bat. If he can't do that, he can't play. I'll live with Kevin Newman being slightly less of a defender if he's going to do what he did offensively in 2019.
Who's going to be the opening day starter?
That's a good one, Joe. I could see them going, like, configuring their rotation to maybe go Mitch Keller opening day and Stephen Brault for the home opener. I think you're going to see one of those two. Like, either you give Brault the ball in Chicago and try to figure it so you get Keller for the home opener or vice versa. But I think those are the two guys they want to target. I just, you know, I think you're going to try to see them split that up a little bit.
How about the outfield positions? I mean, everybody's watching Brian Reynolds and see what he does. Polanco. You know, at least, you know, Shelton has said he's going to be an everyday player. Who's going to be the third outfielder?
Yeah, that's a good question, Ron, and I think that's something we're going to watch over the final months. And, you know, some of it depends on what Anthony Alford does health-wise. You know, he hasn't been able to throw a ball full strength. And he said yesterday after he had a home run in Dunedin, this was something he sort of expected. But, I mean, we're in spring training, and we're talking about it being a development that he's throwing from 150 feet. So what I'm saying is he needs to be healthy. He needs to be able to throw a ball. If he is, I like his chances to play center field. And they got a guy in Brian Goodwin who I think is right there. They might view as more of a bench guy, a good veteran, a fourth outfielder they can rotate in. He's played all three spots. But I think Anthony Alford could be a guy that, you know, again, if he's healthy – they plug him in there, they let him play, and whatever. It's just, it does worry me a little bit that here we are on March 1st or 2nd or whatever day it is, you know, we're talking about his ability to throw and whether he has a healthy arm. So I think, I guess sort of what I'm talking myself into or, you know, presenting is that I think the rotation could be at least fairly fluid with Alford and Goodwin, but I would be shocked if it's somebody in addition to those two.
Jason Mackey on the Hall and Capitas fan hotline here. Back to Keller just for a second, and I got a two-part question for you because a lot of people are wondering, with so few innings pitched last season across the league, if some teams are going to go with six-man rotations. So first, Keller, his strikeout rate plunged last season. He walked more than he struck out, albeit only five starts. I get it. Why did his strikeout rate plunge like that? I thought he was a strikeout pitcher. And B, what about the idea of a six-man rotation?
I'll take the second part of that first, Joe. I don't think they're going to start with a six-man rotation. I think they could go to one eventually. But I know in our conversations with Derek Shelton so far, he's talked about wanting to open the season with five and then sort of move from there and see where that goes. As far as Keller's strikeouts, he didn't command the strike zone well enough. And that, you know, that has a couple different branches to it. One being as accurate as he wants to with his off-speed stuff and getting ahead in count. He didn't have a changeup last year. He didn't have one in 2019 either. He hopes that that has improved for him. And the other thing, you know, commanding the strike zone is fastball command, getting ahead in counts. Like, if you're Mitch Keller and you can command your fastball the way you should be able to do, you know, if we're saying he's a front of the rotation arm, he should be getting in a lot of 0-1, 1-1, 0-2 counts. And at that point, man, does he stack the deck in his favor. He's able to play with his curveball and slider, and they're really, really, really good pitches. But if you're starting, and he did this yesterday, you're spraying the fastball, you're getting behind in counts, you're 2-0, all of a sudden, you're giving up that advantage. You're having to throw a get-me-over curveball. You're having to throw a get-me-over slider, if that. You might be going back with a fastball because that's your best chance of throwing a strike. And so, one, you know, that creates high walk rates, and two, that gets you hit. But if you're able to establish the fastball, command the strike zone with it, you get yourself in more favorable counts, and then Mitch is able to rack up strikeouts the way he's sort of configured with those spin pitches.
We have the debut of the Derek Shelton Show tomorrow. We're looking forward to it. Have you noticed any difference with him this year? Is he calmer? Is he more relaxed? Do you notice the difference between year one and year two?
I don't really, Ron. He was pretty chill. You guys know this. He puts up with Joe. You know, he's pretty chill all the time. You know, it seems like last year maybe there was more of a need to establish things. We see him being a little bit more deferential toward, like, Oscar Marine, the pitching coach, or other people. But that could be my own just, you know, interpretation of it. Because we ask him about pitching stuff a lot, and he's, you know, saying, like, Oscar does this, Oscar does that. But, you know, I honestly don't see a bunch of changes to him, and I think that's what the Pirates like. He's just – he's steady. He's got a easygoing personality. He's not egotistical whatsoever. You know, and I think he's a guy that young players respect and feel like they can play for. Now, they need to grow those young players up. They need to get more of those young players. That's, you know, I'm not saying everything's perfect, but his demeanor, I like how steady it is.
Lastly, Dr. Mackey, are you getting any feel inside the organization for who the Pirates might like or love at that number one pick?
No, Joe, and that's intentional. I talked to Ben Charrington about this. I think it was back in October about this was when I went down to Instructional League about that draft. And, like, they want to stay open to it. They very much want to stay open to it and see what Kumar Rocker does this season, what Adrian Del Castillo, the catcher from Miami, does, what Jack Leiter, the other pitcher from Vanderbilt, does. Like, I don't think there's somebody they like above others. Now, in saying that, I will say this. Ben Charrington is very much aware and has talked about what sort of capital talented young pitchers can be. Now, the smartest pick for them last year was to take Nick Gonzalez, so I realize that sort of bucks what I'm saying. But you've got two premium arms at the top of the draft in Rocker and Leiter. I think you could probably, you know, the spring season will tell us who the better pitcher is, but whoever the more dominant arm is, there, I think they're going to take it. I would say they're going to skew pitcher here because they need pitching, because it's always good. You always need pitching. The other thing that I'll close with, Joe, is I don't think signability is going to be any issue whatsoever. They will not, Ben Charrington will not be held back. He will draft the guy that that they should draft. He'll pay him what he should get paid, and they'll add a premium talent into the organization.
Thank you, Mackey. Tell Shelty we said hello, and we're looking forward to the show tomorrow, if you would.
I will, guys. Thank you very much. We'll talk to him after the game. Hope you have a great day.
Jason Mackey.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.